Woo! What's going on, everybody? What's going on, everybody? We are back with another weekly episode of the Sports Guru, where we talk about the NFL week to week and talk about different teams that have different opinions. This week, we're going to recap the NFL week 4. And as you know, week 5 do start tonight, but we'll get into that in a second. Let's hop right into week 4. Thursday night, week 4, we started off with the Bengals and Dolphins. The Bengals beat the Dolphins 27-15. Joe Burrow threw for 287 yards, 2 TDs. Joe Mixon ran for 61 yards on a TD. T. Higgins had 124 receiving yards on the TD, and Ja'Marr Chase had 81 receiving yards. Teddy Bridgewater threw for 193 yards, 1 TD interception. Tyreek Hill had 160 yards. Now, going into this game, Dolphins 3-0. They just came back and beat Baltimore, and they just beat Josh Allen, even though they should have lost both those games, but that's not the point. I thought going into this game, Dolphins are going to come out on top and be undefeated. But unfortunately, Tua came out the game with a concussion. He was supposedly in protocols in a game against Buffalo, but they say it was a back injury. And he got carted off the field. I'm glad to see that he's doing good. And I guess when they fired one of the doctors that was there, so he's not playing this week coming up, but Teddy Bridgewater stepped in. He didn't really play bad, but it was just going to be tougher for the Dolphins to win that game without Tua. I feel like Tua gave them the best chance to win that game. But Bridgewater, like I said, he didn't play bad. Burrow did play well. You know, he threw the ball well, didn't turn the ball over and stuff like that. T. Higgins, like I said, had a good game. Was the best receiver out there for the Bengals. He had a better game than Chase. Tyreek Hill did have 160 receiving yards, but they came up short. And also, Tyreek Hill did call out Eli Apple. I don't know if you guys saw the little clip or the interview piece where he called him out saying, "I owe you one." I don't know what he meant by it. Like I said, I don't know the really context, the story behind it, but called him out. And I guess you could say Eli Apple has the last laugh as they won, even though Tyreek Hill did have a solid game. So, yeah. So Tua, we'll see about him. And when he returns, we don't know when he's returning, but I know he's not playing next week. Moving on. We have the Vikings, who beat the Saints 28-25. Kirk Cousins threw for 273 yards, a TD and an interception. Justin Jefferson had 147 yards receiving. Andy Dalton had 236 yards, a TD, threw for a TD. Latavius Murray rushed for 57 yards and a TD. And Chris Olave had 67 receiving yards and a TD. Coming into this game, I'd agree from what the Vikings win this game, because the Saints are without Jameis Winston, Michael Thomas, and Kamara. I didn't expect for it to be really a close game. I'm thinking the Vikings were going to dominate early, and I feel like the Saints' defense were going to be on the field a lot. They did get the win in a close one. The Saints, Andy Dalton, he didn't really play bad if you look at his numbers. He didn't, you know what I'm saying, he threw a TD. They can only miss like 8 completions, 20 for 28. He didn't, like I said, he didn't turn the ball over. And it came down to a last-second field goal that hit the left upright, the crossbar, and came out, which would have sent the game to overtime. That's a heartbreaking way to lose. But it was good to see Justin Jefferson having a good game, because he was kind of quiet the last 2 weeks, so it was good to see him get back to normal and doing what he do. And Marshawn Lattimore was matched up on him for the most part of the game, so I would say Jefferson won that matchup. So, but we'll see if the Saints get their main guys back next week. We'll see the status of that as they play the Seahawks next week. Moving on, we have my Cowboys, and we have the Washington Commanders as we beat the Commanders 25-10. Cooper Rush threw for 223 yards and 2 TDs. CeeDee Lamb had 97 receiving yards in the TD. Carson Wentz threw for 170 yards, 1 TD, 2 interceptions. And Jahan Dotson had 43 receiving yards in the TD. Now, the problem is, like I said, it was a great win. You know, Washington, they was coming up a rough week against Philly. So going into this game, I had all the confidence that we're going to win this game, because I feel like we're the better team on both sides of the ball. Like I said, Cooper Rush played. He did enough. He did what he's supposed to do. He threw the ball well, took care of the ball, cut the ball out of harm's way. And our defense just played outstanding. I ain't gonna lie, Washington defense did play well. They did get some stops and forced us to do field goals. But then again, I felt like some of our drives were killed due to penalties that we were having, like holding or just stupid penalties that were killing our offense. That's why we settled for some of the field goals. And we just got to, when we get close to the red zone, we're driving. We just have to execute. We can't keep settling for field goals. Like when we had the chance to score, we have to put points on the board. So I feel like our offense is still needs some work. Like they got to work on finishing drives with touchdowns and not 3 points. But what I saw overall, what I liked, our defense, we created pressure. We got to Carson a few times. They did kill us on the ground. They had over 140 rushing yards, so we do need to work on our run defense. Pass defense, we forced two picks. Trayvon Diggs caught a pick, and our rookie DeAndre Bland, he caught a pick. You know, Carson is not really, like I said, you can't really trust Carson. He's going to give you the ball. He's, you know, like the four stuff. He's going to turn the ball over to you. And like I said, our front four is one of the best in the league. As like I said, we create pressure, we sack the quarterback, we get quarterback hits. Our secondary is pretty solid. It's pretty solid. Well, we still need some, you know, do better. Like we haven't even seen Jayron Kearse play yet. A safety hasn't played all year. Hopefully he comes back. It was good to see Michael Gallup return to the field after ACL injury. He ended up scoring and he caught a few balls, so it was good to see him play. Moving forward, we play the Rams next week. Is Dak going to play? I don't think he's going to play. I said we don't rush him. Just take our time with his thumb. Just return when he's 100% healthy and when he can, you know, grip the football properly and stuff like that. So I can be and on top of that, we're winning games, so we don't really need Dak right now. I understand if he was losing games and we, you know, rushed him back or try to get him back as soon as possible, but Cooper Rush has been holding it down. You know, running the offense, knowing the system, making the right reads, right throws, keeping the ball to harm's way and not really getting sacked, stuff like that. So it was good to see us win. So we're 3-1. And we put the Rams next week, which I will get into that matchup later on. Moving on, we have the Jets beating the Steelers 24-20. It was Zach Wilson's first game back. He threw for 252 yards, a TD, two picks. Breece Hall ran for 66 yards on the TD. Corey Davis has 74 receiving yards on the TD. Kenny Pickett threw for 120 yards, three interceptions. George Pickens had 102 receiving yards. And Pat Freiermuth had 85 receiving yards. Now, this game, I feel like I knew this game was going to be a tough game because I'm like both teams not, you know, I got still trying to find themselves. You know, Mitchell Trubisky started the game. Started this game, well, the first half, and then Mike Tomlin made the move to bench him and put Pickett in. And the Steelers were up 20-10 in the fourth quarter, and the Jets rallied back, and they came back, scored two touchdowns, and pulled out this game. Now, it was a good fight by the Jets for them to come back, but for the Steelers, you have to win this game. And I just knew that Mitchell Trubisky time was coming up. As I was saying before, he's on the lease. I feel like he had another week or two before the move was being made that Kenny Pickett is going to be the starter. Now, Kenny Pickett, he didn't. Besides interceptions, he was pretty accurate through 10 for 13. But, you know, the interceptions, you can't really be turning the ball over like that. But Steelers are currently 1-3. I guess Pickett is going to be the quarterback moving forward. So we'll see if he can provide the spark the Steelers need to turn their season around. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how the Steelers do moving forward. Moving on, we have Seattle and the Lions. This game was a shootout. Seahawks beat the Lions 48-45. Geno Smith threw for 320 yards, two TDs, even ran for a TD. Rashad Penny had 151 rushing yards and two TDs. DK Metcalf had 149 receiving yards, and Tyler Lockett had 91 receiving yards. Jared Goff threw for 378 yards, four TDs and a pick. Jamal Williams had 108 yards, two TDs on the ground. TJ Hockenson had a day, 179 receiving yards, 2 TDs, and Josh Reynolds had 81 receiving yards and a TD. This game, I feel like it could have gone either way. As you see, this was a high-scoring game, 48-45, so really no defense was being played. I mean, both quarterbacks played well. The receivers played well. Running backs were running. So, like I said, this game, no defense was really being played. Came down to one stop. But I felt like if, mind you, the Lions were missing DeAndre Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I felt like if the Lions had one of those two pieces, they probably could have pulled out this game. But give credit to the Seahawks. They played well enough. Geno played well. And they came out and they got the victory. Seattle, honestly, is not that bad. Like, they're not a bad team. They're okay. I'm not saying they're great, but if you look at some of the games and the way Geno has been playing well, as he has the highest completion percentage in the first four games in NFL history. It was like 77.3, which is crazy. So I don't think nobody saw this coming from Geno, but he's been playing well. We'll see if he can keep that level of play up moving forward. And the Lions, they suffer another tough loss, and every week they are just in a close game and they can't pull it out. This week they lost by 3. Last week lost by 4 to the Vikings. Who else they lost to? Lions. They lost to somebody else, and they're just always in. Oh, the Eagles, week 1, lost by 3. The Lions are just always in tight games and just have to know how to close it out or get a stop when needed to just win some of these games. But they always fight hard. You know, they fight to the end. I give them that. But they got to start pulling out these close games when they're in tight battles. Moving on, we have the Bills and the Ravens. The Bills beat the Ravens 23-20. Josh Allen threw for 213 yards. Had one passing touchdown, an interception. Ran for 70 yards in the TD. Diggs didn't really do much, only had 62 receiving yards. Lamar Jackson threw for 144 yards, a TD, 2 picks. Also ran for 73 yards. And J.K. Dobbins had 41 yards on the ground in TD and 22 receiving yards in the TD. The Ravens once again choke a lead. Ravens were up 20-3, either 17-3, 20-3, and the Bills storm back, come back, and win this game, kicking a game on a field goal. I think Lamar threw a terrible fourth and goal or something like that. Fourth and goal in the red zone. They were in the red zone and threw a terrible pick, which kind of turned the game around. And Josh Allen put the team on his back. The Bills, they fought, and they were determined not to lose this game. And the Bills fought hard, and like I said, Lamar didn't really play well. He didn't throw the ball well. He had 2 turnovers. I mean, no quarterback really played well. Like I said, it just came down to who got more stops, and the Bills got more stops and got the stops they needed and made the plays they made and had the last drive and kicked the game with a field goal. Ravens defense have to step up because their defense has been atrocious, especially when they have leads and they just don't know how to keep it. Like, you just have to stay solid. Just because you have a nice lead in the NFL, the game is not over till it's over, because we see comebacks happen. We don't see a few comebacks happen in these first few weeks, which is crazy. So Ravens got to step it up, both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively. Like I said, the Bills didn't really play well, but they played well enough at the end to make a comeback and storm and upset the Ravens. Moving on, we have the Packers and the Patriots. Packers beat the Patriots in overtime 27-24. Aaron Rodgers threw for 251 yards, 2 TDs, and an interception. Aaron Jones ran for 110 yards. And Lazard had 116 receiving yards. Zappe, I don't really know their quarterback first name, threw for 99 yards in the TD. Damian Harris had 86 rushing yards in the TD. This game, we knew Mac Jones was out for a few weeks, so Brian Hoyer was a starter. He ended up going hurt, so now they had the third string backup quarterback in to play, and I'm thinking, I already predicted the Patriots are going to win. The Packers are going to win because Mac Jones wasn't playing at Brian Hoyer. So I'm like, you know, there's no way Brian Hoyer beats Aaron Rodgers. And I'm thinking the Packers are going to, you know, dominate this game, but this game was close from start to finish. And like I said, went to overtime. Game could have went either way, but the Packers ended up pulling it out. Packers, they have to just... Packers got to step it up defensively, too. Their defense hasn't really been all that great the past 2 weeks. And like with a team like this, you know, third-string quarterback, you don't really expect nothing from them. You would think Aaron Rodgers would dominate, but win's a win in the NFL, and they got it done in overtime, so they definitely have some work to do. Raiders and the Broncos. Now, we knew going into week four, the Raiders were the only team without a win. And I'm saying, if the Raiders go 0-4, their season is over. Because no team has made the playoffs after going 0-4. So, I predicted the Raiders to win, and they did get their first win. They beat the Broncos 32-23. Derek Carr threw for 180 yards. Josh Jacobs had 144 rushing yards and 2 TDs. Davante Adams had over 100 receiving yards. Russell Wilson, 200, played the best game. I want to say the Bronco this past week was his best game so far. Had 237 passing yards, 2 TDs, had 29 rushing yards and a TD. Judy had 53 receiving yards and on a TD. Sutton had 52 receiving yards and a TD. Now, like I was saying, this game, the Raiders season was on the line. If it's a playoff game, they're desperate, and it's only week four. They got the job done. Derek Carr didn't really play well, to be honest. He didn't really do much. Like I said, part of the reason why they won is because Josh Jacobs had a heck of a game. He was running the ball hard. The Broncos defense couldn't really stop him. They were just feeding him. It's probably the reason why they won. Russell Wilson, he played well. And this is, like I said, this was his best game with the Bronco. Threw 2 TDs, ran for 1, then turned the ball over. He was looking like somewhat like the old Russ we used to know. We need to see more of that consistency and throughout the year. And like I said, it was good to see the Raiders win, get in the win column. Because in that division that they're in, AFC West, which is the best division in football right now, you have the Broncos, Chargers, and the Chiefs. They wasn't going to make it out if they didn't get a win this week. So it was a good start to see. We'll see how they do moving forward next week and stuff like that. Moving on, we had the Chiefs and the Bucks. Chiefs beat the Bucks 41-31. Mahomes threw for 249 yards, 3 TDs, and a pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran for 92 yards and a TD. Travis Kelce had 92 receiving yards and a TD. Brady threw for 385 yards, 3 TDs. Mike Evans had 103 receiving yards, 2 TDs. Now, at first, I was going with the Chiefs. But then, when I saw the Bucks would have their weapons, I'm thinking, okay, you know, it's a game where the Bucks, I think, are going to take off. They got their weapons back, and their defense is one of the best in the league right now. But Mahomes came into Tampa. And the Chiefs started off hot. They started off scoring. I think they first, was it 4-5 drive? They got to a hot start, big lead. Mahomes throwing the balls, you know, beating a third down, beating the blitz, beating the Bucks defense, who, like I said, one of the best in the league. So he kind of exposed the Bucks defense, putting up 41 on the Bucks. But he played well. Last time we saw them two, Brady and Mahomes, they played each other in the Super Bowl. And it didn't end well for Patrick Mahomes as he lost. So I guess he probably took that personal. And he came to Tampa, and the Chiefs outplayed the Bucks on both sides of the ball. You know, the Bucks got down big, and they abandoned running game. Leonard Fournette had -3 rushing yards for the game, so which led to Brady dropping back 52 times, which is a lot for a quarterback, a lot on your arm. And he had to throw the ball and try to get them back in the game, but it's hard to come back. You know, it's hard to be down and then come back, especially when you're playing a good team. And the Chiefs didn't let up. And give credit to the Chiefs, that offense, and you know, the defense for making it difficult for Tom Brady in that offense. And they ain't got the win. And then that was a Sunday night game too. And then we have Monday night NFL, where we have the NFC West division showdown between the Niners and the Rams. Niners beat the Rams 24-9. Garoppolo threw for 239 yards and a TD. Jeff Wilson ran for 74 yards in the TD. Debo Samuel had 115 receiving yards in the TD. Stafford threw for 254 in the pick. Cooper Kupp had 122 receiving yards, and Higbee had 73 receiving yards. Now, if you know the history behind the Niners and Rams, Kyle Shanahan has been beating McVay in the regular season. He was 16-0 going to this game. I just thought the Rams were going to finally get it done, but the Niners dominated the Rams on both sides of the ball, and now they're 7-0. Debo had a good game. He broke out on a 57-yard play on a screen play and took it to the house. And the Niners front four was getting to Stafford and putting pressure, hitting him. And you know Stafford being Stafford, he's going to give you one. He threw a pick six in the fourth quarter late in the game when they were driving, which kind of sealed the deal. I mean, you're looking at the Rams, they have not been that impressive this year at all. Even at looking at this game, Stafford, main two targets were Cooper Kupp and Tyler Higbee. Cooper Kupp literally had 19 targets, caught 14 balls. Tyler Higbee had 14 targets and caught 10 balls. Allen Robinson has been nowhere to be found, and their other receivers have been nowhere to be found. If you take away Cooper Kupp, take away Higbee, and you can get pressure on Stafford and force him to turn the ball over, you can beat the Rams. And the Niners were just shutting them down on defense, making it uncomfortable for Stafford and that offense. You know, Cooper Kupp, you know, he's gonna get his touches. You're not gonna really stop him, but you're gonna somewhat try to contain him and make somebody else beat you, and then you have a great chance of beating the Rams. And then the Niners offense, they're moving down the field. Jimmy didn't even have to do too much. You know, just make a throw here and there. And came out on top against the Niners. He didn't really get sacked at all. Rams couldn't really get no pressure either. So, like I said, the Super Bowl champs haven't really been that impressive in my eyes. And which leads me to the matchup we have against the Rams on Sunday, and I feel like we have a great chance to beat the Rams if we can create the pressure with our front four like we've been doing all year and get to Stafford, make it hard for him. And I'm not saying we're going to stop Cooper Kupp, but try to contain him and make somebody else beat us, and our defense keep doing what they're doing. I feel like we have a great chance in our offense. Cooper Rush, you know, keep the ball out of harm's way, run the ball well, try to play action, get Skeety involved, Michael Gallup, you know, all our weapons involved. We can go to LA and beat LA, even though we're the 4.5 underdogs point. You know, that's a spread underdogs. I feel like right now we're playing better than the Rams, and I feel like we have the team to beat them. So I'm very confident in my Cowboys to beat the Rams Sunday. So that's a 425 game. We'll see what happens with that. And right now, it's like I said, these first few weeks, you took high by one team, then they lose, and it's up and down right now. It's like I said, week five is tonight. You just never know what's gonna happen week to week with these teams. You know who's hot and who's gonna play bad this week. What team is gonna surprise you this week? It's just, I say, get a lot of NFL, because any given week, it can be anybody's week. And we have week five tonight, which is the Broncos and the Colts. Jonathan Taylor is not playing tonight. He's sitting out with an ankle injury. And tonight, I think Russell Wilson's going to have a solid game. You know, it was good to see him play well against the Raiders, even though the Raiders' defense is not great, but it was good to see him, you know, shine. And I think tonight he's gonna have a solid game. They're playing at home, and I feel like the Broncos are gonna take this game and beat the Colts. Colts haven't really been impressive, to be honest. And now Jonathan Taylor's not playing, so their running game might be a little suspect. The receivers, not really too high on them besides Michael Pittman. You know, that's their best receiver right now. So I do have the Broncos winning tonight. You know, they're just better on both sides of the ball, have more weapons. Their defense is better. and they're at home. So I definitely, you know, like to see Russ, Judy, and Sutton to have a good game, and the Broncos defense to just make it hard for Matthew Stafford. And matchup we're gonna look for is Pittman and Patrick Surtain the second. He's coming up to be a very good solid corner. I think he's gonna be the next big thing. I'll give him another like a year or two. Next young corner is coming up, and like I said, I got the Broncos winning tonight. They're the favorites. I think they take tonight to win. So that's pretty much it. You know, week 5 starts tonight, and then, you know, we'll watch the rest of the games on Sunday and Monday to see who comes out on top. But this pretty much wraps up this episode. I'll be back next week to recap week 5, talk about the games, the stats, and give my opinions on different teams and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that. If you want to have any questions, you can, or you want to reach me, or reach, if you want to reach me, or keep in contact, reach me. If you want to get in contact with me, you can follow my social media on Instagram at TyBoogieThePug. Or even if you have my phone number, you can reach me there and have any questions, comments, concerns. You can do that, you know, stuff like that. But until next time, until next week, it's your host, Tyler Brown. Thank you for tuning into the Sports Guru. And I'm out. Peace.